Truth Not Trends.
Oh, it's got to be bigger than that, man. We're not Truth Not Trends. We're Truth Not Trends.
Boom, baby!
This is Jesse Schmidt and Liam Bauer coming to you from the Truth Not Trends podcast, where we teach you how to maximize your strength as safely and efficiently as possible.
Changing the world one set at a time. Come over and see us at truthnottrends.com.
That's right. Podcast, blog, online training, you name it. We'll teach you how to get amazing results in the gym or at home in minimal amount of time. Head on over and subscribe to the Truth Not Trends podcast. A lot of good stuff.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of casual. We laughing, we drafting the passion through every. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's bask in it. To top it off, the host, all the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right, so here we are. We're gathered again, the Holy Trinity, to understand more about the demon breath, which we have, by the way, called the episode of yours, James, Demon Breath. You're welcome. That's a sexy title. So you had an update for us that you sent by email. We're going to have Cass give like a recap of what the hell the details are of the story. And then I'd love for you to just go right into whatever your question is.
So just to recap, super quick, super condensed, people can go back and listen to the previous episode, which came out today, but that's the past right now when you hear this particular version, which will be in the future. Yes, keeping it tight. all right. So just to recap, what happened is my father, James Albert Brown, came on and told a story of how his hand was injured when he was a baby. It's a pretty traumatic story. And then connected to that was the story of this doctor who saved his life, couldn't save his hand completely, and then was murdered a few years later in a very infamous murder. There was mistrials. There was crazy stories about the rival doctor who may have ordered a hit. And so that's the condensed version of the tale. Now, what happened in the episode? All kinds of things, including some kind of breathing voiced entity on the line that Jim couldn't hear, but Katie and I and Desmond, our engineer, could hear the whole time. And Katie got rid of it 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 times. And each time there was a new entity kind of that showed up as a result of the sort of unmasking. I think that's sort of the simplest version of that. Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. And in terms of framing my question, what I recall, Katie, is that you cleared one of the entities and then another one came on, or another one remained that wasn't suspected. It was sort of like in the shadow. And so then you cleared that one, and that one was a female entity. The first entity was, I believe we identified as the doctor, Roy Hunt.
The murdering doctor or the murdered doctor?
The murdered doctor, right?
The guy who was killed.
The guy who was killed.
Okay.
I'm curious about the identity of the female entity. That's basically my question. Was she someone who had been romantically involved with Dr. Hunt before the incident, the murder? By the way, we left out there was a year and a half prior to the murder of Roy Hunt and his wife. He had been shot in an attempt to murder him.
Right.
And the doctor, who was his rival, had been implicated in that. I mean, he identified because he survived that attempt on his life.
Right.
And he identified that doctor and the doctor's wife as being his assailants.
Okay. And what were those two people's names?
Let's see. Newton, I believe. I had it. I have it on my screen. In fact, in the email that I sent you, Katie, all this information is in there. I don't know if. Oh,
okay. Why don't you hang out? Cassidy will pull that up.
Okay.
You guys
so
keep talking.
What was Roy's last name? Hunt?
Hunt.
Okay. And
his wife's name was May.
May Hunt.
Yeah.
So, and then we have Mr. Newton and his wife.
William Newton. Okay. The names are Various sources online related a backstory linking Roy Hunt, the doctor,
yeah,
William Newton, and Ruth Nichols.
William Newton and Ruth Nichols. Now, Ruth Nichols was William Newton's wife, correct?
So it's Ruth Nichols.
Newton, yeah.
William Newton is married to Ruth Nichols, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, great. William Newton and Ruth Nichols definitely killed Roy Hunt, or they are suspected of having killed Roy Hunt?
They are suspected of having tried to kill him once. And then a year and a half later, he was actually killed by someone else.
Right.
Who we suspect is having been hired.
Later, hold on, I'm just making some notes. Someone else. Now, okay, let me give you a little understanding about how my system works with this kind of thing. When I'm in that space and the records are open, I often do not remember anything that happens later. Like, I remember it-ish, and if I think about it, I can recall things, but I don't have it top of mind at all. But I do seem to recall that there was something about a mob person that we thought maybe the mob had hired the new murderer, right?
Right.
To kill Roy Hunt. Is that right?
Roy Hunt and his wife, right.
So I'm going to write that down.
I believe what you revealed, Katie,
yeah,
in the reading was that Dr. Newton was mob connected. And
right,
so they were maybe cleaning up his mess.
Right. Mob connected. Let me make a note. Uh-huh. Possible mob guy later kills Roy Hunt for good. Gets the job done this time. I mean, geez.
And then the killer is murdered later.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Again, I think cleaning up the mess.
The killer stood trial three different times. Well, he never did serve any time. He was killed before he actually completed the whole judicial process.
Okay, so you're saying the killer of Roy Hunt was killed by another guy after having been three times on trial?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, so your question is what exactly?
My question is, who was that female entity?
Well, didn't we already say it was Ruth Nichols?
No. No, it wasn't. She wasn't identified during the session.
All right. But I got it.
Jim said he suspected it might be her.
Yeah.
And he would like to talk
about
it. Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah.
And he said that in the episode, or he's saying that now?
I'm saying that now.
Okay.
Because I didn't get that she had been there for Roy Hunt. I thought, you know, in your in the records, the way you related it, I had misheard it as her having been associated with me somehow. But when I listened to the session recording, I realized that she had been associated with Roy Hunt, not me.
Yeah, I remember that what I heard was man and wife, like a husband and wife team.
Hmm.
And did Roy Hunt have a wife?
He did.
What's her name?
Well, her name was May, but they were killed at the same time. So it could be that she, that didn't occur to me that it could be her. I thought it was maybe Newton's wife because they had been involved romantically while they were in medical school together.
Ruth Nichols and Roy Hunt had been involved.
Yeah, had been.
Jesus Christ.
I can barely track any of this. So, who remembers, I should listen to the freaking episode, but who remembers, does anyone remember? This is what I remember about the entities we cleared. Man and woman that were together and associated with one another. Then a third person. And I don't remember anything about the third or fourth person. Do you guys?
No,
I don't.
Okay. I don't think it's relevant. Let's open the records. Thank you, Desmond. And we'll see what we get. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, we'll see if we can find any logic at all to this whole situation. All right, so let's take a couple deep breaths, at least James and myself, into the low belly. I'm going to see. My records are open, so I'm going to ask a few questions out loud. I just did a couple healing sessions back to back, so I'm kind of in the zone for myself. So record keepers, do we need to actually do the grounding exercise for Jim or the other thing? No. Okay, so we're just going to open his records. Okay, great. So we're going to breathe into our low belly, relax a little bit, just become aware of the earth below your feet. feel the electromagnetic connection between the bottoms of your feet and this planet we live on. I'm in. Okay. And so by the power of divine light within all of us, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of Light, Spirit of Truth, for the highest good of all throughout time. Interesting. Okay. Fill my heart with divine love, all of our hearts with divine love, as I humbly ask permission to open the divine portal to the highest realm of the Akashic Records for James Albert Brown. Akashic beings of light, guide James Albert Brown to the deepest truth of his being, releasing any blocks and restrictions to his abundance and highest good. Lords of the Akashic Records, assist James Albert Brown to fully embody his soul's light, fulfill his soul's purposes, and heal any accumulated karma. Surround James Albert Brown with the enlightenment and wisdom of his masters, teachers, and loved ones. Clearly direct James Albert Brown's perspective and actions to those that manifest his divine plan. I'm going to go quiet for just a moment. All right, free of all resistance, judgment, and fear. We're now filled with divine love, and the records for James Albert Brown are now open. For whatever it's worth to you, James, or Jim, I'll call you, is Jim okay?
Jim is better for me.
Okay. For whatever it's worth to you, you're, let's see, is that correct? Your spiritual connection, your rootedness to the center of the earth and the spirit of the earth is so clean right now. Like there's no interference. Yeah. And the, and your being, your essence, your body, you get, you know, spiritual alignment very much deeply from the spirit of the earth, from the soul of Gaia, kind of like your wife. It's just that it's very, very easy to perceive now because of what got cleared last time. So that's just a bit of info for you. All right, so we're here to ask Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records for Jim here a couple specific questions that I'll try to track. First of all, did we clear four entities last time? Yes. Okay, did we clear only three? No, four. Okay, we're trying to understand who the female was that we cleared. Okay, so did we in fact clear the energy of William Newton? Yes, definitely. Ruth Nichols, 100% yes. That's a big fat fucking yes. Okay. Did we clear, let's see, was, did we clear from Jim's field, Roy Hunt? No. May Hunt? No. Mafia, other mafia guys? No. Other mob guys. They really want that distinction. Mob guys. Two mob guys? More than two? Okay. Two mob guys. So, why were they, I'm going to ask a few questions here myself, Jim, just out of curiosity, and then let's dive into anything else you want to know. So why were they with Jim? They could have been with anyone. Why Jim? I'm just curious. So the first phrase, sometimes I hear little trickles of information and then it all starts to flow. So the first phrase is karmic debt. Did they feel guilty about it? No. Whose karmic debt? Jim's? No. William's? Ruth's? No. The mob guys. Okay. One mob guy, both mob guys. Both mob guys. Karmic debt. But why stay with Jim? Oh, they believed they had karmic debt to the kid because those two guys felt bad about it. Yes. So the whole thing started with Jim and let's see. Wait a minute. Who, the doctor, right. So the doctor, Roy Hunt, Jim, this is me asking you, is the one who saved your life, correct?
Yes, correct.
And then possible moment, blah, blah, blah. He was killed by the two mob guys that we cleared, like ultimately down the, okay, those are the two mob guys. They are the two. Now, let me just, for my own clarity, track some things here. Roy Hunt is murdered. First, William and Ruth attempt to murder him. Yes. 100% yes. Then, these two mob guys we cleared out of Jim's field succeed in murdering him. Yes. Do they both murder him together? No. Okay. One mob guy murders Roy Hunt. So who's the other mob guy? His boss? Yes. So, but still I'm confused about what that has to do. Why are they with Jim? Or why were they with Jim if, okay, because Roy's dead, so they can't be with Roy. And is it like out of guilt? No. Is it that they wanted to say something? No. Is it just kind of what happened? Yes. Was a decision made by any person, being, entity? No, it's just kind of what happened. There's more information. So what is it about Jim? Sometimes, this is just going to be channeled now. Sometimes when people pass and they pass through nefarious means, or they've had a nefarious lifetime, the part of their own psyche that is unresolved about their choices unconsciously chooses to remain here in this dimension, at least partly. So out of either guilt or a desire to correct things or a desire to make things worse, or desire to finish the job, et cetera. So in this particular case, William Newton and Ruth Nichols, they stayed behind. Why? So the piece of Ruth Nichols in particular, the piece of her heart that was innocent and pure, you could say, identified with the piece of your heart, Jim, that is innocent and resonated with you and believed a sort of, these words don't apply because it's not a full person. So words like belief and think and want, they're not exactly correct, but for lack of better words, we'll do our best. The innocent part of Ruth's heart was like magnetically drawn to the innocent part of your heart. And she felt connected to you because she felt like the innocence of you is a reflection of who she really was. So out of shame and guilt, she wanted to hang around and be close to you, sort of as an apology. But what we have to understand as human beings about entities when they're not fully embodied is that they're not operating the way we operate. They're not operating with a full deck, you could say. It's almost like different energies are just magnetized to each other. They're not thinking straight, right? And because in their lifetime, their alignment with spirit wasn't clean or figured out or whatever, there was nowhere else for them to go in their own estimation of reality. So if someone like Katie here comes into the room and says, oh, I see these beings that are not contributing to this other alive human being, I, as someone who spends a lot of time with spirit, can say, hey, go ahead and go somewhere else, or go to spirit, or go. Because in essence, Katie has more access to energetic possibilities for those entities. In other words, they can't conceive of more possibilities for themselves, but Katie can. So she's going, okay, go ahead. And they're like, oh, there's a go ahead available? Oh, okay, I'll go ahead. They don't even know. It's like, they didn't even know that was an option. Okay. Now, I am also getting that William Newton was like dragged along by his wife, Ruth. Were they married? There's sort of like a yes-ish energy about that. I don't really know what that means. Maybe it's like they were partners, but like not technically married. Something like that. Anyway, William is dragged along by Ruth to hang out near your energy field, Jim, just like in that way that some husbands can be like, I have no power now. My wife makes the choices. That's what happened there. That's very, very clear. And he's been like, I don't know, this is boring. Like, can we just do something else? And she's like, no, we have to stay here. My pure heart and his pure heart, they're one, and I'm a pure lady, see? And he's like, all right, babe, whatever, it's fine. But he's not like stoked about it. Then these two mob guys, I still need to look at this paper when I'm thinking about this. Possible mob guy later kills Roy. Definite mob guy later kills Roy. And his boss, okay, great. So these two mob guys, we cleared them out of Jim's field, correct? Yes. I'm curious, Jim, to know why they were in your field. Would you like to know that, or do you have other questions you'd rather ask, or both?
I'd like to know. Part of my curiosity here is, how does all this work? How do these souls get attached to my soul, you know, and why?
Well, you heard the thing we just said, right? That's why and how.
But so I get that Ruth Newton wanted to stay attached to me because she felt some resonance with my heart.
Uh-huh.
And she kept her husband along with that. But why the two mob guys? I mean, why?
Okay, great. So that was my question as well. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's find out. All right. So these two mob dudes that hung around Jim's field forever. Why were you hanging around Jim's field? Okay. They hung around Jim's field more out of a connection to William and Ruth than out of a connection to you.
Mm.
So hold on. Try to kill him once. Okay. So were William and Ruth mob connected? Was William mob connected? Yes. Was Ruth mob connected? No. So she got kind of pulled into this murder situation, or she got involved. She didn't like it. William was involved and committed to it. The two mob guys, possible guy later kills Roy, and then that guy is killed. William Newton, I see. Hmm. Were these guys in some kind of chain of succession or something? Not succession, but like in a hierarchy in the mob? No. Why did the guy who ended up killing Roy stay with Jim? Because he was staying with William. Okay, we're going to come back to that. Why did the other guy stay with Jim? Because he was staying with the first mob guy, or because he was staying with William? Staying with William. Okay, so they both wanted to stay with William. And remember, the word want isn't exactly correct. It's more like energy sometimes repels itself, goes toward itself, tries to complete things, etc. I'm just learning this as they're saying it. Okay, so why did they want to stay with William? Well, they didn't know any better. And they had nothing else to, they didn't know any better. They didn't know any other options. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. They didn't believe in, you know, transcending time and space. They didn't believe in past lives or next lives. But more than that, it's not even about what they didn't believe. It's about kind of just dumbness. They're just like, I don't know, this is what we do. Stay with William. So funny. And then were they like a little threesome? Nope. Were these two like a little pair? Yeah, the two mob guys I get were like a little buddy-buddy, like they were tight. So then the last mob guy is ordered to kill his buddy.
I was just about to ask that.
What were you going to ask?
Exactly that. Did the second mob guy kill the first mob guy, and now they're both attached to Jim because they're all connected to each other?
The second mob guy killed the first mob guy, yes. Then they were all attached to William.
Right.
Out of just like familiarity. Just like, oh yeah, those guys. We know those guys. That's what we do. We all do this thing that we all already did. And then William is dragged into Jim's field by Ruth. Ruth is there. Now this is interesting. Ruth is there out of, like, you could say, genuine intentions. But notice how interesting. Okay, this is the example they're giving. One time, I, Katie Rubin, was in a house in Los Angeles that someone asked me to clear the entities there. They couldn't sleep, like pots and pans were flying around. And they were like, there's a fucking somebody in our kitchen or our closet, please help us. So I go to the closet, and clear as day to me, there's a woman and a child. And they died. The child died. The woman was filled with grief. The woman was the child's mother. And the woman was so full of grief for the death of her child that she just never left the child's side. Just out of like, I love you. I love you so much. I'll never leave you. And now they're both trapped in somebody's fucking closet, making everybody's life a fucking living hell. Out of what you could call love, right? That's what our culture does a lot. We go like, oh, he loved him so much. He never left his side. But really, in a way, it's out of like self-centered need for something that, like guilt. It's out of guilt. So Ruth's, there's just something they want us to understand about that. That like in your human life, if you're loving someone out of guilt, you're creating an attachment to that person that is no good for them or you in the end. It's the kind of attachment we talk about in spiritual teachings of like, let go of that attachment. Whereas there are healthy forms of attachment where it's like, nurture that attachment. Anyway, so they just wanted me to talk about the difference between types of attachment. So Ruth's attachment, while philanthropically moral, is also a little codependently enmeshed, you could say, or a little like clingy, or a little guilt-ridden, and then kept all these people attached to this random guy, Jim. So what we want to take from this is, please don't form attachments out of guilt. Guilt doesn't serve any fucking buddy. Instead, it's like, grieve the loss of whatever needs to be grieved. Own your part in what occurred. Grieve how sad it makes you feel to know that you have done a thing that has caused harm. Make amends. Do the best you can to make things right in this life with whoever it needs to be made right with. And then go to work forgiving yourself. The work is self-forgiveness. Okay, so sometimes the record keepers like to take the fucking pulpit and do some teaching. There you have it. Lesson complete. Jim, do you have any other questions?
Oh, plethora, but I wonder, I can't help feeling like I had some attachment to Roy Hunt because he was my doctor. I'm sure he followed up on the treatment of my hand for years, probably was still actively on the case when he was killed. I wonder whether my attachment to him, because he was my healer, may have gotten me enmeshed in this whole other network that had nothing to do with me otherwise.
Well, in the sense that you were invested in him and he was invested in you, sure. But that connection is a correct and appropriate connection.
Yeah.
According to these guys. Okay, let me just look at, I have to look at the info again. Roy, the doctor who saves you, someone tries to kill him. Oh, have we looked at why Roy got killed at all?
No.
We have not asked.
We have asked.
What do we know historically about it? Anything?
Well, that he and Newton had been medical students together, had been in love with the same person who was in nursing school at that same institution. So they were all embroiled. But then Roy went off to marriage. He married somebody else, and they were married when he treated me. Roy and May were husband and wife, and they worked together at the hospital where I was treated. So she may have even nursed me in some way, you know, taking care of me and my mom. And that's the other question I have.
Go ahead.
I feel like my mother had such tremendous guilt over what happened to my hand that she probably never got over. She probably carried that aura of guilt with her through the years that I was under Roy Hunt's care. And so her feeling of guilt may have embroiled her somehow in this whole other scenario that had to do nothing with my family, but with the Hunts and the Newtons. And apparently there was some kind of criminal cabal mixed up in this whole thing.
Okay. Everything you're saying is a big fat no.
No.
Like none of that is relevant or true. So you can totally let that go.
Right. Good.
Bye-bye. Done. Nope. Cool. That's done. What other questions do you have? They're like, no, 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 none of that. No. We're just, you know, they're like, look, don't make a, you know, you can, it's tricky, right? These are serious things. And so what the human psyche likes to do is create narratives to explain the things, which is very understandable, but don't.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Well, it's just that I have no idea how all of this happened. How it all got focused in on me, these different entities.
We just explained it to you, Jim.
Just because I was around?
No, because of Ruth Nichols's weird idea that she had to connect her pure heart to your pure heart. It's a weird idea. And then she drags William along, and then these two are attached to William, and that's it.
How does she even know of my existence? I, you know, and what? How did we intersect? at all that would make me a recipient of her attention?
Oh, I see. That's a good question. Okay. I'm looking at the line. This is the most complicated fucking thing I've ever had to track in my entire fucking life.
Okay. And you've done some crazy stuff, Katie.
I mean, this, like, crazy stuff is one thing. That's easy. But, like, remembering who is who related to what, that is not my forte. Okay.
Yeah.
So William and Ruth, together as one, try to kill this rando, Roy Hunt. Then, later in time, Roy Hunt saves the hand of a little boy. Right? It was later. Right, Jim?
No, my accident in the hand injury happened three years before all of this happened.
Okay, so Roy Hunt, a rando doctor, saves the little boy and his hand. 3 years later, somebody tries to kill him but doesn't succeed, and that somebody is William and Ruth. Yes?
Yeah, right.
Great. Then later in time, somebody succeeds in killing him.
Right.
Which is this mob guy and the mob guy. Okay, now, so the question is, what was Ruth's awareness of you? Right, like why you? Oh, I see. Okay, so your hand happens, and then, where did these people live?
Well, the Hunts lived in Littlefield, Texas. William and Ruth lived in, they had a practice in another town some 100 miles south of Littlefield. William and Roy had been medical students together.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth had been a nursing student at that same school, and that's how they all got involved with each other.
And where did you live in relation to all those people?
My family and I lived in Amherst, Texas, which was 7 miles away from Littlefield, where the hospital was, where I got my treatment. And so we were all in the same vicinity, in near the Texas Panhandle in the High Plains.
So you lived closer to Roy than to William and Ruth.
Right.
Okay. So, okay, I'm just going to have to channel. I can't even track it. Okay, so Lord's Master's Teacher, how did Ruth even know about Jim? Well, that's so specific, I'm inclined to be skeptical about it. I'm going to say little bits of this out loud. So let me see. So William goes to visit Roy before he's going to kill him. Is that right? To chit chat and figure something out to see if he doesn't have to kill him. Ruth is with him. She's in the waiting, not the waiting room. She's in the same office with them looking at pictures. Pictures? Looking at what? Articles? Looking at articles? Words on a... Was there such a thing as pictures? Pictures were a thing, right? At this time?
Oh, yeah.
Photography existed.
Okay, I'm so bad at time. I apologize for being very, very dumb. when did photography start?
In like the 1800s.
Oh, I'm terrible. Okay. The poor beings of light, they have to work through the filter of my clumsy ass. Okay. So she's looking at, I'm going to say the whole thing I see, and then I'm going to go back and see if it needs correcting. So she is there with him. They're having a chit chat, but it's kind of a threatening chit chat. She's like, how the fuck did I get involved with this guy? Her guy, William. I don't like it here. I'm staring off into space, looking at a picture. I see a picture on a cork board of a bunch of different patients, but your picture is there. Jim. And she asks, changing the subject, about who's this and who's this and who's that. And he tells the story of you, but he's very casual about it. He's like, yeah, there was this kid. He was a sweet kid. And it was terrible. And then I have to say, I was very proud. He's very proud. He's like, I'm very proud to say it was good. But he's also humble about it. He's not a jerk proud. He's just like, good for me, doing my job. She identifies, well, she starts crying. Okay, that makes everybody uncomfortable because we're supposed to be here like talking about work. She starts crying because the Jim story is so touching. How did we all get to this point? They're being blackmailed. Who? William and Ruth are being blackmailed. Oh boy. The stress of the blackmailing kind of just comes out of her eye holes in the form of tears when she sees your picture, Jim. She never forgets it. Did she ever meet you? No. Did she ever see you in physical form? No. Okay. That helps me understand. Any other questions from you guys about that?
I'm just thinking of the fact that did I stay in her consciousness, that case, that situation, stay in her consciousness through all the rest of her life?
How much longer was it though?
I think she died in, 30 years later or something like that, 40.
So she died after William.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Not entirely. I know that they were, their deaths were separate by a few years, but I'm not sure which one went first.
How do you know their deaths were separate by a few years?
Read the newspaper accounts of all of this. They had children. That could be relevant, because she might have invested some of that sympathy that moved her so much in her own kids. Maybe it was overprotective.
No.
Ruth died first.
Yeah. See, that's what I get. That's right. Okay. That makes it all make sense. So she dies first, and then he dies, he's killed, or he just dies, William?
2 years later, natural causes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, there you have it. So she dies. She always remembered this story. She made it kind of a maudlin, I connected with him. And I broke open that day, and the boy, the innocent boy, and I'm the innocent girl, and I'm a victim in this. Not a victim. Sorry. Not a victim. She saw herself as kind of like an unwitting accomplice. Like it just happened. It all just kind of happened for her, from her perspective. And that's part of what makes her feel connected to you in that moment is like it all just kind of happened to you. Your hand fell in a thing, you got injured, this guy saved your life. But also really it's about her heart breaks open in that moment when they're having the conversation, William and her and Hunt, right? Hunt. Yeah, because it's just too much for her. She just can't anymore. And so you're just kind of like, you know how that happens. You go to, I don't know, you go to Mount Rushmore and suddenly like the beauty of Mount Rushmore makes you cry, but it makes you remember the time when you were six and you broke your ankle. So now every time you think about Mount Rushmore, you connect it with your ankle pain. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like that for her. But her heart was very big, I get. It's just that she lived in a time where she couldn't really show that. And her man turned out to be, no, that's not the way to say it. Her man was not capable of, holding space for, I mean, those terms didn't even exist, her level of love. So a moment like that where she sees you, hears your story, connects with you, she made up a whole narrative, which brings us back to like what they're saying about narratives and how to be aware of them.
Uh-huh.
Also, here's another thing that people don't know a lot of times. In the realm of entities and demons, and I'm aware of the time, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up after this. In the realm of these people who stick around, people, beings without bodies that are hanging around this dimension, none of it is actually that big a deal in the sense that people die all the time and their being or their consciousness or their magnetism goes like, oh, we'll stay over here. It's just that stupid. It's not that fancy all the time. It's not that complicated. Like a lady saw a picture and felt a feeling and was like, oh, that little boy, and I'll stay with him forever, my heart. And then she fucking makes a little vow inside of her psyche and then stays with you forever. That's the importance of not making vows and, commitments forever till death do us part. It's like, are you sure? Because that shit is binding. So anyway, a lady makes a thing, has a feeling. Then she's like, you're coming with me. The husband comes and then the mob guys are attached to him. And here we are. But you have to get like, for you, it's kind of a big deal because you've never seen entities. And then a lady named Katie Rubin shows up and goes, let's clear these entities because they're breathing in my machine. But like to the big picture of the universe or even just the earth, frankly, it's like, yeah, of course. This is how they're talking. They're like, yeah, they stick to people. That's what they do. Do you see?
Got it.
You see what I mean? And all of that is a way that they're going like, just don't worry about the narrative so much. The narrative isn't all that important. But, and we're happy to provide guidance and we're happy to give you insight if it feels, if you want it. It's just that.
Insight. And also like, what effect has that had on me to have these entities hanging around?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. You're right. You're totally right. And the first thing is what we said at the beginning, which is it was kind of making the frequency of your connection to spirit or to source a little hazier, a little buzzy. It was buzzy. It was like, like that.
Yeah.
Whereas your connection now is like wind. It has no sound. It's like space. It's very beautiful. So
that's part of hearing is maybe I'm clear to have abilities more like yours, more like my friend Claudia. I talked with you last time about I've always wanted to be in contact with my spiritual world more than I've been able to. And this could be, that could have been part of the veil between me and it.
Are you asking me a question or are you just pontificating? Because I won't answer if you just want to have a thought.
I would like to know if you have any insight about that. I would like to know.
Okay. So just so that I give you a clean answer to a thing you actually want to know, will you go ahead and frame that in the form of a specific question? Because I don't want to project on you.
The question then would be having these entities all kind of roiling around in my field, my consciousness field, would that be constitute a screen between me and my own, the clarity of my knowledge about the spiritual world and about entities, about everything that you've been trained to?
No.
No?
No, it's a no the whole time you've been talking about it, but I wanted to be sure I got the question right. No, you have to understand. Let me give you a little more context here. If you look at someone like myself, I've had probably 6,000 entities to clear. Thousands of dark beings and entities, and that's how many there are. That's just one lady. You had four.
Mm.
Everyone you've ever met in your life has, let's see, is that correct? Yep. Everyone you've ever met in your life has had entities and or demons attached to their bodies. When you got a fuck ton of them, forgive my language, when you have a lot of them, you're going to experience interference in your life. When you have what you had, it's going to have a mild effect. It's going to have a little buzzing, which means your connection to the earth is going to be a little less clean and light. And I'm not saying, none of us here are saying that that doesn't have an effect. It totally has an effect. As soon as we opened your records, I could perceive the difference between your energy field then and your energy field now. But it's not such a dramatic amount of stuff that it was blocking you from being able to perceive the other realms. It was blocking you from being able to experience the divine through the earth for you. That's not how everybody does it, but it's big for you. Making your ability to connect to the spirit of the earth, which is your source of spiritual fulfillment. It was like the reception was fuzzy on the radio channel. And now the reception is quite clean. Now, does that mean you're going to have psychic abilities? No. Does that mean you're going to now see demons and entities? No. There's a lot of other practice required to get to that point. Some people are just made up that way. They're just like born with access to that stuff. Other people have to develop it, right? And some people are born with access, but it's clouded over by a bunch of demony entity trauma, who knows, a bunch of things. So there's all kinds of shapes that can come in. Mm. And yeah, but if you're asking, am I now going to see entities and demons and stuff like that? Just boom, because we cleared these four entities. I have to give you a no on that.
Just as well.
I think Cassidy is feeling the same thing from the look on his face.
Oh, I'd be happy for you to have that happen, but it's just not that simple, it sounds like. It's not that clean a shift is what I'm hearing.
It would be sort of like saying, I don't know, oh, since I had some dirt on my shin and I cleaned the dirt off my shin, can I talk to Jesus now? It's like, not really. What makes you think that? Like, and please forgive me. I know I have a very direct way of communicating. I don't mean to be flip or glib. It's just, that's how words come through my system. It's sort of like, no, no, what? No. Now, if you want to spend another hour at some point talking about how you can begin to develop your ability to tap into that world and to see that stuff, that's a thing you can do. You know, you can have a session with me and we can start to see if that's a thing for you. Like, is that a thing Jim will be doing in this lifetime? I don't personally get a yes on that. I get that that's not really your jam. And, you know, you could ask me 1,200 more questions about that in another context. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And what I'm hearing from all of this and from the last session as well, you told me that I was karmically clean, you know,
yes.
After all, and that's good enough for me. I'll go with what I've got.
That's very kind. Yay. That's generous of you. Well, that's great. Yeah. That to me is 100% clear. It's like, wow, this guy is slippery clean. Like you're like slippery. You're so clean. You could just slip right out of the body if you felt like it and be like, cool, I'll go do another thing now.
But don't
do that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Instead, just enjoy being super clean.
And you feel complete about this now.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Good. I was hoping we could get that for you.
I hope this was of service to other people who are listening in terms of the dynamics of all this. It's been a mystery to me, and it's clearer now. So.
Oh, I'm glad. That's great. I'm sure it will help certain listeners, 100%.
This feels a little more like one of the episodes of like My Favorite Murder or one of your those podcasts that you like to listen to.
How so? Oh, well, just because it was such right.
A, and it was such a like, here's the story and here's how this person relates
yes.
to this person.
Oh God, I wish I were better at those details. I literally, look at this little chart I drew. It's like a terrible chart. And I was trying to look at that to reference the names and it was not helping me. So funny. Anyway, thank you guys. Let's go ahead and close Jim's records just so we've done that. I do want to say thank you to the record keepers, the Lords, Masters, and Teacher of the Records, Divine Motherfather, all the beings of light. Babidi boo, babidi ba. Thank you for all the info we got and for bringing clarity to Jim and peace to his heart on this. And thank you for the entity clearing, because that should provide some like more joyful experiences of being alive for however long that happens. Allah. And so I ask that you return all of Jim's energy to him now. Return us all to our complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records for James Albert Brown are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for James Albert Brown are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the records for James Albert Brown are now closed. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, before we close, this is a photograph taken of me and my cousin. This was just before the injury to my hand, and it's the only photograph in existence of that right hand. She's pointing. My
She's
cousin,
holding the hand.
Holding
up.
The hand out that I'm about to lose.
Wow, that's great. Thank you for sharing that, Jim. What a weird thing that she's like, here, universe, take this.
Is that not weird?
That's so weird.
Thanks for that, Jim and Cass and Desmond. For doing this.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Thanks for being here. All right, we have some business to discuss, so you can hang up if you don't mind, and we'll just do our podcast boring business here.
Thank you.
You got to sign off, Dad. Otherwise, we're just going to stare at your crotch. Thanks. That's great. It's a nice crotch.
Pop. There it is. There we go.
Ooh,
all right.
Wackadoo.
We did that.
Good stuff.
That happened. Cool. I figured we could just chat and we're done. That's done.
Yeah. Episode over.
Are you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.